Good afternoon and welcome to today's special planning commission meeting, Tuesday, April 28th. I appreciate everybody showing up here on a rare Tuesday afternoon. We've got a good crowd. We'll have a roll call. We've got a couple people that are not able to make it back in time today. I know Ben Bryson had a problem at the airport, and Mr. Cutno, our newest member, has had a health issue, and Mr. Bremer had a work issue. All three, of course, are excused out. Mr. Pagarini, we've got a forum here confirmed for us. Okay, so now we'll go into correspondence and general public statements. We'll start off with Kelly.
Yes, sir. You all received all the correspondence that we received via email. It's also linked to the agenda. We had well over 100 emails.
I know everybody got those on that email link, and I really appreciate the work staff does there. It makes it very easy for everybody in the commission to read that. Those concise emails, and it's open to the public as well. Okay, so this is the portion of the meeting where we will have general correspondence. We have a public hearing on our agenda item tonight, so we only have one item, so is there anybody in the audience that would like to speak right now during general correspondence? If not, we'll roll right into our agenda item. I just want to make sure that I give everybody that opportunity. Okay, and seeing none, we'll right into item 3, Code of Ordinances and Text Amendments in the public hearing. Kelly, you want to lead us off?
Okay, sure. I'm going to give a little bit of history and just a few brief staff comments. On March 24th of this year, Mayor Page of Town Council announced the Town Growth Management Plan aimed at preserving quality of life while providing balance between development and livability of residents. The framework spells out three major goals. One, to curb the number of allowable residential units available in new development and redevelopment projects. Two, to ensure costs associated with development are borne by those responsible for development. And three, to raise funds for open space recreation and other livability enhancers. At its meeting on April 14th, Town Council approved first reading of ordinances intended to address the following issues. One is to retire all bonus density allowances. Two, to eliminate increased density in mixed-use plan development. Three, require 100% commercial street frontage for multifamily projects in the urban corridor overlay district. So that means no multifamily units on the ground floor street frontage. And four, eliminate recreation impact fee waiver for developments that provide amenities. Town Council also clarified that all ordinances would be finalized within 4 to 6 months of the April Council meeting, and recognize that there may be amendments prior to final reading. So the intent of your special meeting today is to hold the required public hearing on the proposed amendments to the Town Code of Ordinances. Briefly, those are to remove provisions pertaining to bonus densities in the Urban Corridor Overlay District and the Waterfront Gateway Cooper River District, to remove provisions for increased densities in the Plan Development Mixed Use District and the Plan Development Workforce Housing District, create a requirement for ground floor commercial uses in multifamily development in the Urban Corridor Overlay District, and eliminate the provision allowing for that 50% reduction in parking recreation impact fees. There are also some amendments proposed to Zoning Code Section 156.104 for consistency with the aforementioned modifications as they pertain to density. Pursuant to Zoning Code Section 156.031b5, once a public hearing is open, the Commission has up to 30 days to close the public hearing. If necessary, the Commission could leave this public hearing open until the next day to provide the recommendation. Once the public hearing is closed, the Commission must provide a recommendation to the Commission about the Commission will close the hearing to the Commission and the Commission will provide
first ordinance is the ordinance to amend sections 156.305, 318, and 20 of chapter 156, which is our zoning code. There are nine areas of our code, of our zoning code, which are proposed to be amended. As Kelly mentioned, all of those provisions are found in this document. So that includes the elimination of first densities, mixed use, increased densities, 100% commercial on the first floor. The second ordinance is the ordinance to amend section 154.408 of the code, which addresses the municipal impact fees, and that is the recreation impact fee, which was mentioned by the The reason of that way is because of the full number of the TV bills to amend the new batch and then submit the new version.
Okay, so is everybody understanding what we're, we know that we're going to review this. Are there any questions for staff at this time? If you'd like to go, we don't have an applicant, you know, it's not an applicant coming up to give us a presentation, this is a presentation. We can go right into questions for this, or we can go right into public hearing. That's all right. And I'd like to go ahead and open up the public hearing. So what we'll do is we'll open the public hearing. The process is here. We'll give everybody 2 minutes to come forward, whether you've signed up or not. It's okay. We'll call out a few names, and it looks like we have a good many speakers. So to move as long as best as possible, we'll ask everybody to kind of line up 5 or 6 on the left side, and we'll keep it 2 minutes and be very fair. I'd ask everybody to kind of hold their applause or booze or whatever comment so we can hear everybody's comments. If you have given us an email or given us your correspondence, you're more than welcome to come up and say, I sent my correspondence in. I stand by the letter because we have all read the 120 letters in the correspondence. But if not, let's go ahead and start off. You want to call a few names, and then we'll call in live from Lynette.
Robert Hervey, John Watkins, David Shemp, Robbie Millett, Jerry Scurry, Steve Gilder, Paul Mount, Pat Sullivan, Pam Tucker.
Okay, and then I'll ask you to come to the dais, give us your name and address, and we'll move forward. And go ahead. Thank you.
My name is Robert Hervey. Over 200 people on the waiting list for an application to get one of those. And these are people who are local residents. We only accept applications from people who either live or work in East Vancouver. So these are local people trying to stay here and trying to get into an affordable house. So I'd ask that you all consider an exemption for nonprofits or some other way to allow bond expenses.
Thank you very much for your time. The next speaker, come on up. John Watkins. Watkins, 4150 Colonel Vanderhorst Circle. Also happen to be president of the Dunes West Property Owners Association. And my concern is not so much about what you're doing, but what's not here that is a snake bit you're standing next to. You don't mention floating zones. Three related decisions that have recently come before you, Fishing Village, Cambridge Square, and Highway Retail Center, all have a common background. They all came out of an original 8,000 plan development plus, where floating zoning was used for about 15 or 20 years, and it defeats the purpose of zoning. The people in Cambridge Square and the people within my community in Egret's Walk and Palm Cove are now facing when they bought. Their people next to them were zoned in R1 or at worst R3. And they're now, because of floating zoning, looking at commercial and material change in the property values they've had. And I think the snake bit we face is it's been inconsistency. When Fishing Village was there, they had to go through compliance with the zoning change. But when Egret's Walk was built, they did not. And if you what we have found is we have probably four or five neighborhoods within Dunes West that are now non-conforming uses because of the presumption of floating zones. R3 is built in R1 zones. If you do now enforce no floating zones, you may make non-conforming uses and those people may have trouble selling their house and you're not going to like the dollars. I'd ask you to look very carefully at the floating zone question and the general concept that when somebody buys a house or buys a residence, they should be able to rely on the consistency and equity in the zoning on which they based their house. If you're going to make a change, they need time to talk about it. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Hello, good evening. My name is Dave Shemp. I live at 1551 Ben Sawyer Boulevard, Simmons Point. In virtually every commission council meeting I've attended in the last year and a half, affordable housing has been put forward as a reason to support bonus density developments in the overlay district. Affordable housing is once again being used to argue against removing bonus densities in the town's new growth management plan. However, rarely does anyone say what they consider to be affordable as a basis for their positions. Current zoning has given us new developments like Earl's Court, where homes start at just under $300,000, and the Boulevard, where a 551-square-foot apartment costs almost $1,300 per month. This hardly satisfies the goal of affordable housing. Furthermore, current zoning has overstimulated land valuation. It's not difficult to correlate high housing costs with authorized densities and the price property owners can demand. This hardly supports the goal of affordable housing. Current zoning that encourages bonus densities simply will not achieve the goal of affordability. Increased inventory alone is not the solution. There is no data to support the premise that supply will ever outpace demand in Mount Pleasant, which, as you know, is the ninth fastest growing city in the country. Hoping that high density and more high density with bonus densities will lower housing costs is clearly not a plan. Hope is not a plan. If affordable housing is more than just a feel-good soundbite, we must have meaningful, fact-based discussions with verifiable metrics. We have seen that current zoning with its incredibly high densities has done little for affordability. More of the same will get us no closer to that goal. More broadly, the town's new growth management plan will allow a much more measured approach to development. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Next speaker, come on up, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Roger Mutt. I'm with the Fulton Association Steering Board. I'm here to talk about the zoning and the impact that we have on the development for affordable workforce housing density. I think as the gentleman earlier talked about possible exemption for certain development purposes, and I agree with that. I think we need to not apply a brush. A wide stroke to density across Mount Pleasant. The comprehensive plan calls for workforce housing, senior housing, and we're going to have a difficult time implementing those initiatives if we do away with the benefits. I'm part of a group that's taking on the banner of affordable workforce housing and housing for seniors, and we're starting our work. We had our first meeting, and we're looking to see what we can present to Town of Mount Pleasant as some ideas and suggestions on how we can make this happen. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time. If there's more speakers that we haven't called up their name, if you just want to go ahead and get in line, we're more than happy to have you line up. Thank you very much. The next speaker, come on up.
My name is Steve Gilbert, 2135 Golden Park Drive. I want to talk about the both proposition. Ordinances 5.1.037 and 38. Relative to 38, let's see, impact fees. I'd like to say I definitely recommend that the building developer should pay the town's impact fee uniformly. If you run away fees for simply providing amenities, you might have to use it all. The only reason I can think of the way of recreation is if the developer or developments include all the facilities the town has. For example, new ball fields and juniors reduce the burden placed on existing facilities. If that happens, great. But since it's unlikely that that's going to happen in new developments, it would never seem to be right the way we relative to ordinance 1057, I recommend doing away with the ball densities and the ball densities are over. As you can see with the terrible traffic situations that are now occurring, they're only going to get worse as bonus densities are continuing. If bonus densities want to be used as an incentive, I suggest that the criteria should encourage responsible development. It should be required of any new development. Things like open and green space need to be included in the criteria.
Thank you for your time. The next speaker, come on up.
Hi, I'm Jerry Story. I'm the 1360 block of the Laurel Lakes. Adjacent to Central Mount Pleasant. Bonus density is kind of a real common sense as to statement that he said in the Boulevard, for example. There's over 55 units per acre on that site, 300 some odd. Least expensive, the study studio apartment is $995 a month. Is that affordable for one person to live in a hotel with them, basically? I don't think so. The newest one near me, the Haven, 302 units built on about 9 acres. The density is 33 per acre. The one bedroom, one bath, which is 680 square feet, is $1,325 a month. One bedroom, one bath, one person, maybe two, maybe 10 you have to live here. I don't know. I mean, it just seems to me with this density that we have time, you know, we're turning this place into an ant farm. You know, it just doesn't work. I think we have to have some common sense about this development. It's a major problem. I recognize the traffic situation with the cars we have, how you deal with it. But increasing these densities along these major corridors or any of these roads, it just doesn't make any sense. It's just simple common sense. So I encourage you to think hard about it. It's a tough situation.
Thank you very much. Would you like to speak to come up?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Paul Mount, and I have a 1481 Central Extension. The pipes freeze in your house. You need to do a lot of work to fix it. You need to do work to prevent it from happening again. But first, you have to turn off the dang water. Bonus densities have made sense at one time, but they have long since served the other purpose they may have had. You don't need to keep selling tickets because the arena is full. There's a myth that bonus densities are needed to prevent sprawl. That might be true if the zoning rule in place encouraged a variety of housing options within the town square. However, the zoning rules as they currently stand seem to reward only one type of development, very high density apartment complexes with exorbitant rents and high turnover. These units are much too small to house a family, and these young professionals get married, they don't want homes and yards and places for kids to play. They can only find that further down 17, and thus the bonus densities create the very thing the urban corridor is designed to avoid. Because the zoning makes apartment complexes significantly more lucrative than commercial development, and nearby jobs are being created, which pay enough to afford these rents, hence these developments encourage more vehicular traffic. Moreover, these developments are being proposed in locations that cannot support extra traffic, such as on Vansweer Boulevard and on Long Rifle Range Road. when we go and look at the traffic this past Sunday to see what problem this has caused, the zoning plan allows those switches in stark contrast to the intent of the comprehensive plan. I understand that you all are under a lot of pressure from the developers and similar moneyed interest to preserve bonus densities and other favors, but I submit to you that your duty is to balance the interests of all of your constituents instead of giving heed to only a handful of developers who have no stake in the quality of life for the residents of Mount Pleasant. The zoning rules in place now that you bias in favor of quantity over quality. The growth management plan before you now is a step toward balance, and I urge you to approve this new plan. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time. Next speaker, come on up, please.
And it's a reality check. Mount Pleasant has been, continues to be, a gateway to the beach and a bedroom community. And a $500,000 consultant isn't going to change that reality. That is what it is. You have to build knowing that a commercial development, business development, several of the previous administrations in the town, it doesn't seem to be working. It's a bedroom community. When the bonus densities, the extreme densities, now have traffic to the terminal. Years ago, I had worked downtown on weekends. I used to complain big time about bridge runs and the Christmas parade. But this made it virtually impossible for me to get to work and get home. That now is becoming not just a once-a-year thing, it's becoming every day, as by evidence by the traffic jam, with cars speeding through the neighborhoods, quiet neighborhoods, to get near there, GPS telling people to take their hands at Center Street, and now the neighborhoods have people speeding through because traffic jams create road rage. The people are angry because they can't get where they want to go. And that endangers the livelihood, the livability of my neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, ma'am. Would you like to speak to someone else, please?
Good evening. My name is Harry Gregory. I'm the owner of GEC on Coleman Boulevard. I grew up in the area. I haven't been here as long as Jim Bagley. He's a little bit older. I served on CRAB, and I just wanted to make a quick point. I believe that the work done by CRAB, the development today is as it was several years ago, and I would advocate that we remain on track with that overlay district plan and leave it as it is today. 85% of our employees commute in to Coleman Boulevard. We all recognize it's a special place. People want to be here. But I believe that what's been put forth before the town council and already approved is the best solution. So I would hope that we keep it in place. Thanks very much.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker, come on up, please.
Good afternoon. I'm Mary Graham. I live at 1065 Cottingham Drive. But I'm here today representing the Charleston Metro Chamber of Commerce. And we have a number of concerns with the current proposal and its impact on economic development and balancing quality of life in our community. We've joined together with six other organizations to ask the town to reconsider the proposed growth plan because we believe that in its current state, it promotes more sprawl, hurts business growth, and makes the town even more unaffordable, particularly for young professionals who want to live here. We're urging the town to bring in outside expertise to meet with stakeholders, to meet with town officials, to meet with bodies like yourself, and help to find a solution of balancing the growth that's happening in our community and preserving our quality of life. And the seven organizations are willing to help fund that expertise to bring it in, if that will be a help. Our major concerns center around eliminating the ability to construct the type of housing and development that young professionals want today, and that the town will become more expensive and further promote sprawl. One of the issues that we've looked at is, and we know is a concern, is traffic congestion in the town. Today, 17,000 people commute into Mount Pleasant each day to come to work, and 26,000 people commute out of town every day to go to work. And that is one of the major contributors to the traffic congestion we have. So we want to help find a solution to increase economic development in the town and find a way to preserve our quality of life. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Graham. Will the next speaker come on up, please?
Thank you all. John Chalpy, 1704 James Vasper Place. Wanted to go on record and state that I'm against the changes to the ordinance. With the exception of the commercial, I do believe that commercial first floor space should be, I think that's a positive amendment for the town. That being said, you know, change is upon us, not just in Mount Pleasant. All you have to do is go across the bridge to Charleston and witness an eight-story high-end dorm being built in Charleston. So, what I really want to appeal to you, to all of us, is that this is all about my kids, from my perspective. This isn't about how we used to be, because clearly we're not stopping. There's 43 people coming a day. We can't put a gate on Mount Pleasant. We can't put a gate on Charleston. What I'd like to do is create an environment for the next generation. These are the areas that they seek out, our little higher density areas. The reason the Boulevard is so expensive, people want to live there. And there are kids who want to live there. There are adults my age who want to live there. These people want to live at the Boulevard. I don't agree with it architecturally. I think we could tweak some things here and there. But hey, look, that's our first crack at a serious development. And we can improve on it. But I think that we're headed in the right direction. And I think it'd be a mistake to take a step.
Thank you very much for your comment. Will the next speaker come forward, please?
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Lisa Taransky. I live at 1065 Groves Manor Court, but I'm here this evening on behalf of the Coastal Conservation League. We completely support a plan for better managing growth in Mount Pleasant, and I think everyone in this room stands together on that position at some level. However, the current proposed ordinance that looks at densities does not solve the problem. It actually presents an additional threat. The growth management plan encourages more development across the landscape, a land use pattern that leads to traffic congestion, compromised green spaces, environmental degradation, and walled-off communities. With that in mind, I ask that the Planning Commission explore the following recommendations, and I sent an email as well, but the recommendations are that the town should not adopt a growth management plan until it defines a vision of what it wants to become. I think we heard from people in the room this evening that there are a lot of different ideas of what that vision is. To define that vision, we need to bring in a third party. We need to do a major outreach effort. We're in a different economy now than we were during the last planning process. In the meantime, emphasis should be placed on transportation corridors. Right now, there are traffic issues, especially along Pullman. Pedestrians are facing a very dangerous situation, and we need to do something about that immediately and make sure that bike paths connect and that people can move around outside of their cars. And fourth, if a building permit moratorium is paired with a charrette process, I think that that is something that a lot of people can get behind so that we make sure that we get it right. And I think that's been echoed a lot of times. If we're going to do this, let's get it right. And attacking densities or going after densities is not the way to do it. Thank you.
Thanks for your comment. Next speaker, come on board, please.
Thank you. I'm Stuart Whiteside, 618 Halfwell Bullock Drive in Mount Pleasant. What I urge y'all to do is just take your time to evaluate what you're doing. You know, just eliminating all the bonus densities aren't going to have some unexpected consequences. So we really need to flesh out what those are. And just take time and just urge y'all to have a dialogue with all the communities on both sides of the issue. On several particulars on the PDMUSU, the densities would be reduced now to 9 units per acre once you take away bonus densities. 9 units per acre is not high density. If you look at a standard apartment complex in a Charleston area, the minimum is probably 12 to 15 units an acre. 9 is the lowest high density you had anywhere that we've ever worked. The workforce housing, going back to the MUSU,
consider keeping some open space requirements for if you're going to have additional density, but maybe increase the open space. Yeah, don't make it substantial so people will try to do some positive open space. The workforce housing, the density was the only incentive people had to do it. Granted, nobody's done it yet, but that's not to say somebody will not do it. So let's don't just throw it all away. Let's find solutions to workforce housing, which could include some incentives for density. In the overcourt overlay, again, workforce housing was one made as a bonus in that area. Consider keeping that in. And look at height, open space, traffic, and parking requirements. All those are going to regulate density in that area. One last thing, when you do reach some consensus on what you're doing, include economic development in y'all's actions. We really need to, we've talked about it for years, about having some incentives for economic development. We haven't done it. We can find some way to add some incentives to get people to work here. That definitely keeps some people off our roads. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. The next speaker, come on forward, please. And there's room for people to line up if anybody else is ready to speak. Go ahead, sir.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Gray Taylor with the 805 Post Oak Drive. This is at 652 Park Boulevard. In case there's any mistake about how I feel about this, I think this is a really bad idea. Far-reaching, unintended consequences. They're going to do nothing more than ensure the growth is pushed farther towards Allendale Creek, Lake Jim Creek, ensuring that economic growth is out of the field difficult here in Mount Pleasant. I employ 16 people in my law firm on Tolman Boulevard. I saw Mr. Gregory, I pulled the office the other day just to find out exactly where people live. And the majority don't live in Mount Pleasant. The majority do live in Mount Pleasant, field and basically live in Allendale. The reason is the young professionals in my office can't find places where they want to live and can afford it. They want to live in places like the Boulevard. They want to live in some of the other apartment communities that are located very close to Common Boulevard. It's a quality of life issue for them. They want to be close to their office. They want to be close to places to die, places to go out after work. For me as an employer, it's a selfless issue. I want those employees to be able to leave in the middle of the day to go pick up a sick child, to go to the doctor's appointment, to go get the tires changed on their car and still be able to come back to work. If they live in Somerville or James Island or Allendale, they're not coming back to work. It's not going to happen. These proposals are going to do nothing more than make that process eventually businesses like on the move. We have several hundred people right over here, probably more than that, at the Big South Festival. There's a wonderful collection of entrepreneurs, venture capitalists, tech companies, startups, exactly the kind of businesses our town needs to be trying to attract. We take all this energy and all this angst and all this hatred for the type of housing that other people want. We don't want those people here. If we would take all that energy and go right over here and focus on telling these people that we're something more than a passageway to the beach, our economy would improve, quality of life would improve, our children would have opportunities to live in the type of jobs that they want. Again, in case there's any mistake, I think this is a bad idea. This will just result in a new round of bumper stickers to save Allendale Creek, because that's what's going to happen. We're going to push the sprawl back to them. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Will the next speaker come on up, please?
I'm Lucy Gordon, 1551 Ben Sawyer Boulevard. First of all, I want to say our major congestion of traffic does not happen during the week, work week with people having to commute in and out. It's every weekend and all summer, so it's not a workforce commute problem. Developers' contention that bonus densities will create affordable housing is both inaccurate and misleading. First of all, we see no evidence of this. If anything, the Boulevard has put upward pressure on rents. Furthermore, a 2 to 3 bedroom apartment at the Boulevard costs between $26,000 and $36,000 a year to rent. By contrast, the average cost this past year to buy a condo or townhouse was only $17,000, including taxes, insurance, and utilities. How is this helping? Secondly, a simple supply-demand argument does not work here. You can raise supply, but prices only come down if the demand stays limited. But demand for Mount Pleasant is ever-growing. It comes from all over the country, and in that case, it is limitless. So increasing supply can make us huge, but will not create affordable housing. Even if you tried to glut the market runs by profitability, and it's more profitable to turn these units into vacation rentals and timeshares. The density limits for the urban corridor are already in place after deliberation and research. They are already considerably higher than the underlying densities. The bonus densities were an attempt to treat what seemed like an emergency, but there is no emergency now. If we were to apply emergency medical treatment to a person who wasn't actually having an emergency, we would likely kill them. And this is what we feel is happening here. The priority of building very small rental units targeting young singles is fine to a point. These may be the most profitable, but how many does the town actually need? What is a healthy balance of populations? How do we proactively plan housing to fit this? If we leave the shaping of Mount Pleasant to developers and the whims of the market, that is all it will reflect. We are in a very enviable position of being extraordinarily popular with an ever-increasing demand. And as such, we have choices about what is optimal. And with this comes responsibility to use discretion to make the choices that create the town that we want to see in 10 years. This cannot be left to developers or the market. That is the cart leading the horse. These fat forces will need to adapt, and they will do so willingly because even with the most conservative rules, this is a hugely popular place to live and a profitable place to build.
Thank you for your comments. Would the next speaker come on forward, please?
My name is Jimmy Bagwell. I live at 207 William Street, and my office is on at 266 Coleman Boulevard here in Mount Pleasant. I am here today to represent the board of directors of the Save Shem Creek Corporation. All 16 of our board members voted unanimously to endorse the growth manager plan put forward by the town. We don't think that this was a knee-jerk reaction by the town council. They have been listening to the residents of this town for 18 months. For 18 months, the residents have been coming to these meetings, to your meetings, to the town council meetings, and telling town council and telling this planning commission what they want to see. And what they want to see is not more homesteads. As somebody mentioned, we got a good glimpse of the future on Sunday afternoon, and it's only going to get worse. Our infrastructure cannot handle the kind of increase in population we're seeing. Our population rate has grown at about 4% a year for the last 20 years. If we just grow at 3% for the next 35 years to the year 2050, our population in this town will be around 220,000 people. I don't think we can handle that. If we cut that population rate growth in a half, it'll be somewhere in the neighborhood of 130,000 people. So this population growth has a tremendous impact on our residents here. Somebody mentioned quality of life a minute ago. I can tell you that these bonus densities do nothing to contribute to our quality of life. They degrade our quality of life. We need to find a balance, and I think the town council has found a way to do that. I think we need to get behind town council. We need to support this, and I urge this planning commission to urge town council to pass these changes in our ordinances. Also, I think the waiver for recreation fees should be done away with. I think the development should pay its way. We have got to find a way to build more playgrounds and more parks for our citizens. As you can see, we've got property out on Rifle Range Road now that we can't build recreational fields on because we just don't have the money. So ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that our population is expanding too fast and we need to do away with these bonus densities. So there have been many people that have come up here and said that because of the boulevard, the rents are going up. And that's what's happening. It's not going to get any inexpensive to live in Mount Pleasant. It's probably going to get more expensive because a lot of people want to live. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Bagwell. The next speaker come forward, please.
Good evening. My name is Guy Hancock. I live at Jacksonite Lane in Mount Pleasant. I was just telling friends of mine on my way over here, it took me 22 minutes to drive from Chemwood 2 to your office. On a normal day, that's a 10, 11 minute drive. And that's at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Where's everybody coming? They want to put high density on probably on the property at Rifle Range Road across from Old Mini White. So I don't know how that's been proposed. But I believe that high density is not our answer. Restricting the density is our answer to restricting the pressure on our city and our town with regard to water, city power, and uses of city town service. I graciously ask you to
reconsider your... Thank you very much for your comment. The next speaker come on, please. If there's anybody else after this, Ms. Sullivan, I see you lined up over there. Let's go ahead and line up. Thank you very much. Go ahead, ma'am.
My name is Mary Horace. I live at 3224 Pignatelli Crescent in Dunes West, and I want to speak in favor of the changes proposed in the county growth management plan. I think the small number of affordable housing units you might have accomplished by the bonus density is far outweighed by the strain it's placed on our infrastructure and by the strain it's placed on our schools. I live off 41. I do not see any evidence that bonus density made a big impact on the elimination of sprawl in my area. There's plenty of sprawl. I also don't see, I think unless you change bonus density to say that, okay, if you want to build these multifamily high density areas, at least one half of them have to be at an affordable rent, you're not going to see an impact that's going to be measurable for the businesses in Mount Pleasant. You just aren't getting enough for the negative impacts that we have. I'd also like to support the elimination of the waiver of the recreational impact fees. My son in Dunes West, like every other kid in Dunes West I know of, used all the Mount Pleasant recreational facilities. You have great swimming facilities, great soccer fields, other things, and those just can't be matched. And they are, you know, and it also gave them an opportunity to meet other kids in Mount Pleasant, whether they live in school there or not. So I certainly support paying our way and having impact fees.
Thank you for your comment. How was the next speaker coming up, please?
Yes, Pat Sullivan, 1002 Plantation Court. And first, I love that the town is bringing this topic up and doing something about it. But I think it's got to be something that's more encompassing than what we're doing right now. We've talked a lot about using the word dialogue, and what we're doing right now is not a dialogue. It's 2 minutes per person. There was a good start when Councilmember Mark Smith had his stakeholders meeting. People could talk as long as they wanted to, as long as you were one of the stakeholders. I really like the idea that Mary Graham from the Chamber and Lisa Taransky from Coastal Conservation League, and I know there are other groups, they're working with Low Country Local First, I think Urban Land Institute, and the Michelle Mapp in Affordable Housing. So, and they're willing to pay. So we need to take that very seriously. We need a vision. We need a third party to do this. This is a delicate balance that we should not ramrod our way through. In a side comment on the cost of apartments here, I did some checking. It's over at the Boulevard, and what you all haven't mentioned is you've got the base fee, but at Boulevard, that's plus electricity, water, and cable, and that adds up too. So it's higher than what a lot of people are thinking. Am I out of time? Okay. And affordable housing. We keep hearing more and more and more and more. The gentleman with the law firm, who's back here with his development. We've got so many. Patrick Bryant is saying we need affordable housing for our young entrepreneurs. So we've got to keep that in mind as we go forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sullivan. The next speaker coming up, please.
My name is John Patelka. I live in Mark West, and I wanted just to follow up on several people talked about, but in particular, Stuart Whiteside, and that is affordable housing, workforce housing. In my opinion, the bonus density thing is really a reaction to high-density areas like the urban corridor or overlay district piling on top of that. So you're starting at 16 units per acre, and you're adding workforce housing, you're adding a park and all that, and you're ending up, I've heard, 50 units per acre for the Boulevard. Outside of the urban corridor overlay district, there's other zonings, one of which is the plan development workforce housing PD. And in that zoning, there's two areas. There's fee simple, where you actually sell the property, and there's rental. I can only speak about the for sale. But I've been the only one that's ever been built in Mount Pleasant. We created 9 houses up in Carriage Landing across the highway from Warrendale High School. In that zoning district, if you did all single family, the maximum density is 8 units per acre. If you do all townhouses, it's 12 units per acre. And if you do a mixture of uses, it's 16. So the highest is 16. Stuart also talked about another development. So, you know, everybody keeps lumping in thinking it's going to 50. In workforce housing, density is the only incentive. The highest you can go is 16. On mine, I did about 5 units per acre because it's hard to get 8 single-family houses on an acre of land. So I want you to actually look into that instead of throwing them all out, you know, maybe apply it appropriately. Maybe put a cap on density. The highest density you can do is 16 units per acre. So, thank you.
Thank you. And the next speaker coming up, and if there's anybody else after this last speaker here, please come on up and get in line for us. Thank you. Go ahead.
My name is Zach Bearden. I live at 918 McCants Drive, and I'd just like to thank everyone for the comments here tonight. Kind of got people on all sides of this issue, and it's really great to hear all of that. I think that town council has truly created an opportunity for this commission and for our community to really take a step back and look at what the consequences are of proposed growth management plan. Are there any consequences? Why do we need affordable housing? If we do need it, how are we going to get there? And does Mount Pleasant even want affordable housing? I'm an affordable housing advocate, and I've pushed hard for workforce housing issues, and I'd like to hear from our broader community. So I'd like to urge you guys to take this opportunity. Council created this window for us to truly study the issues, look at the consequences. What are the tax consequences? If we're going to slow things down in one space, how are we going to incentivize growth for economic development? And also just look at what do we want to be when we grow up? What do we look like? And what does this community look like in 10 years? What does it look like in 20 years? What does it look like in 30 years when most of us are gone? So I'd like to leave you with that. And I just think that we should really take the time to get this right. We've got a great opportunity.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak right now during this public comment session? Anyone else that's not signed up is fine. They can still come up and speak. Anyone else? Okay, so that's the end of the public comment right now.
Are you closing public comment?
I am not closing the public hearing yet. I'm just ending public comment right now. I made a couple of notes, so I'm going to lead off here, that I'd like to either have some discussion with, and then maybe we can follow up on where I'm going with this, at least trying to from my standpoint. The first speaker talked about workforce housing. We all know about that. I'm concerned about we're all undertaking the bonus density piece of this, and I think there's a bigger picture here. If I heard all the public comment and from the stuff I studied, I think we should be looking more at the base densities. The next to last gentleman spoke about looking at a cap, and I think it's important that we don't just look at bonus densities in the urban corridor or wherever. I think we should be looking at the overall density as per the areas of the geography of the town. So I think there's some information that I've got a list here that I can reel off that I might ask staff. I don't know if they'll be able to answer it all today. But I'm going to be looking for information on population growth, projections for the town, people that are coming to the town, coming to the area, how many are coming to the town. These people that are coming to the town, are they young people? Are they old people? Are they wanting apartment complexes? Are they not wanting apartment complexes? I think one of the speakers was Mary Graham with the Chamber of Commerce. I know that they've got some excellent data that they could possibly provide to us on not just growth numbers, but also what businesses need, because we do need businesses here in commercial. I would also like to look at the current tracts of land that are available, or the best guess of tracts of land that are probably going to redevelop in the town in the near future, 5 years, 10 years. We all know a lot of them because we've seen them come across this commission's agenda in the last 6 months or year. So I'd like to look at that as an issue. And I think from my standpoint, my one vote, I need some more experts on workforce housing, affordable housing, senior housing, because I don't know how many speakers we had, 30 speakers or so, and at least a third of them mentioned those issues. So I would rather focus the attention on base densities and potential caps. But again, I'm just one vote. But that's where I'm going with some of the questions that I have. So I'm going to move it along. Howard, you want to go next, and then I'll move down?
Well, we have heard a variety of issues that need some additional data for us to be able to make any kind of good recommendation on this ordinance. I like the idea of caps, and I think there are some caps that are in the ordinance that's been proposed. Whether those are the correct caps today or not, I don't know. But I'd sure like to hear some more information. And the idea about having a group charrette, for lack of a better term, with people familiar nationally with this kind of information and what it does to a community if you just stop. Certainly, at one time in history, that was what happened. You just stop. Nothing else. I don't think we can afford to do that right now for a lot of reasons. Economic meaning a big one. So, for me, I'd like to hear some more information, but like I said, if you're one, I'm one.
All right, so
let's
see what everybody else has to say. So we're in a Q&A session for staff, so I'm not taking most of you on this.
I think we do need additional information, and I'll kind of echo most of what both of you said. I'm not sure if I think if you do the charrette, and certainly we've already seen a lot of charrettes in the history of this town too, you know, the information you get is only as good as the people that are part of the charrette.
Yep.
So I think that needs to be critiqued very, very strongly. It needs to be a balanced group of people that are providing that information and not just one-sided. You know, I've been an advocate for more economic development in this town every time I've represented it. And we have, as y'all know, we have rezoned a significant amount of property in the town of Mount Pleasant from economic development to residential. Some of it for apartments, some of it for single family. And I'm not in favor of that. I'm not in favor of it now. So I think we do need to make sure that economic development is a big piece of that, because we do need people to live closer to where they work. The Sproul train, that left the station a long time ago. It's out there, and all of us trying to meet us. So we're going to have Sproul. I'm not convinced, and maybe somebody can twist my arm or show me enough data to make me change my mind, that anything we do is going to stop the Sproul. Because the fact is, you know, you've got property out there, it's already zoned, you've already got planning lines, and Onondaga has it, and so does Charleston County, and people have property rights, and they're going to develop to their highest and best use if they can do that. The key is going to be where that balance is, and we've all said that. I think on top of that, the other thing we need is we need to know, with regard to our infrastructure, we've already seen a major widening project that has just finished on 17. You know, we have a bridge that's, what, is it eight years old? I don't know, is it 8 years old, 10 years old? But anyway, you know, I remember when we couldn't wait for that bridge to open because the traffic was so bad on the other bridges. It's worse now than it was before it was built. So I think when we're talking about these density, bonus densities, density caps, style of development, what we're doing with economic development, we need to look and see what our infrastructure can handle. And I would already tell you right now that, and y'all might say, oh, she just wanted to live her all of her life and she doesn't want anything to change. Well, I can just tell you, Coleman Boulevard is maxed out. And I don't want to be a quiet guy. You don't have to drive very long to figure that out. And it doesn't really matter if it's Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. So I'm not just focused on the Coleman Overlay District. I'm talking about our newly widened Johnny Dawes Boulevard in 1741. And we got to see what we can. When you think about 200,000 people here, you know, what is that, 140,000 more we have right now? How is your infrastructure going to handle it? We have a lot of wet space. We have a lot of national forest. And we know we've only got so much capacity. So That's all, and there's probably a lot more if I give some thought, but that's part of the other information I think is critical for us being able to make the decision.
Okay. Mr. Malone?
Mr. Chairman, I totally support the idea of having some more experts come in and speak on some of the issues that we have. I think this is a huge issue. We've obviously taken the train way down the track at this point, and so whatever changes we're going to consider from council or whatever, or anything else, we need to take our time and make sure that we get as much information as possible to try to be sure that we know where we're headed and have a vision for where we want to go.
All right, start at the end, Elise.
Sure. Definitely agree that you can return and make a decision. I thought I like your idea of having starting a list. I had a couple of things that came to mind. One were specific examples of economic development incentives would be helpful to think about. And the same thing on workforce housing, not just should we or shouldn't we get rid of it, but are there ways that we can improve our ordinance as it is to have it be used more often. I really thought it was helpful to have the table that staff provided with a future land use designation and standard and maximum dwelling caps, and I was thinking it would be helpful to also have that for PDs to the extent that we have it, so that we could compare, because we're in a lot of places, I think we're just talking about the boulevard, but there are other, certainly, buildings that have been built that haven't been received by the town, kind of get a little more of a picture of kind of where we are on the overall amounts of multi-family and single-family residential units and ratios. And really also looking a little bit at the PDs that come forward that envision, that Cheryl's point, envision a certain amount of commercial in the application, but then it doesn't even realize that it's pushed to really late phases of development, so that we end up with a heavier concentration of residential within the PDs than anticipated and represented. Not sure an easy way to get a handle on that, but just kind of help us feel through that balance. And then another idea that came up tonight in a previous meeting about concurrency ordinances that other places have used to look at infrastructure and phasing of releasing building decisions in, around timing of infrastructure development. So that list emphasizes okay. It's not an easy one, but I think we're kind of moving in a helpful direction. I have one clarifying question I was hoping to ask the staff, which is just, in effect, is it correct to read the proposed ordinance as putting in a cap of 16 units per acre for residential and 20 for Coleman and 12 for the Gateway? It's those are the current base density.
That's the base density. Why I bring up the base density issue.
So if this were passed as it's written, they would be applied 12, 16, 20.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
The clarification is Johnny Dodd's. The base in Johnny Dodd is 20 and 30 on the two end caps. When I say the end caps, I mean closest to River Ridge and closest to the hospital. The middle of Johnny Dodd, the bases are 16 and 20, the same as Coleman.
Thank you.
Mr. Ram?
Yeah, first of all, I think this is very, very helpful from my perspective, just to hear the public. There was a lot of questions I came up with that they brought up, and just writing down a list, and I'm going to go through them all right here. But some of the things I think the community's offered to come to the table and gave some great assistance if we wanted, and personally I think we should take advantage of it. There's, you know, questions that came up, you know, as mentioned, the maximum base density, that's a, you know, issue that can be explored. I still have questions about the workforce housing aspect of it, though, and still how to put that into the max and, you know, legally and things like that. As, you know, I've told many of you, I've got two daughters in the public schools here, and both their teachers for the last 3 years live out of Mount Pleasant. And, you know, that's disheartening. They have to get to school at 6:45 each morning. So that's a big concern. I know town council looked at giving us this, and correct me, Kelly, if I'm wrong, but I think you know, minimum of 4 months and maximum of 6 months. So as someone mentioned earlier, we have a little bit of time to get this right. And, you know, looking at all the stuff we do at this commission, this is one of the most important things that I can see us doing, because this is going to be the roadmap for Mount Pleasant in the next 10 years. And so that's kind of my comments on it as of right now.
Our newest planning commission member, Mr. Coutinho.
Sorry, Mr. Commissioner, for being late. As you know, I had something kind of get out of, but I only heard three or four people come up and give their opinions, and I did not know a lot. I'll be the first one to admit I don't know a lot all about the workforce housing, the affordable housing. I need a lot more information before I can give one. I mean, I kind of know what my opinion would be, only because I've, as of today, been here for 40 years. But I still
Happy
need
birthday,
thank you,
man.
Thank you. I need a whole lot more information. Opinion.
Okay. Thank you. Point of reference, clarification. If we were to, as this ordinance is written, please go over the four bonus densities that would be eliminated. And by recollection, there would be no density, bonus density given for the incentive of creating more green space. There would be no incentive for the aggregation of property, which this commission has seen. There would be no bonus incentive for workforce housing, affordable housing. And the fourth one is?
No curb cuts.
Which is a transportation issue.
Yes, that's only an urban core.
Right. Okay, so we've had discussion here. I think what we should do then, Mr. Pagliarini, is close the public hearing. So I'm going to close the public hearing, and we can entertain motions, we can entertain ideas, questions. Mr. Chapman.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to put something on the table that may not apply. I have heard every member of this commission say we need more information to vote with what we have so far up or down. I think would be improper based on everything we've heard in this public hearing. Having said that, we do need to move this along and try to get to a point where we can provide a well-discussed, a well-thought-out ordinance to council. With that, and I hate to suggest more meetings for us, because we just finished the comprehensive plan update, but I would move to defer agenda item number 3 until we get more information, starting with a meeting on May 13th, at which time we should get more information from professional groups that might be able to tell us what has happened in other communities when this kind of thing was done, to get more information from neighborhoods that might be impacted by keeping things as they are in land that is ripe for development right now. We certainly want to make sure that the residents who will be the most impacted going down the road and the quickest have a chance to hear some of this other information that comes out. And finally, I don't think we want to do anything to completely stop the economic development that's happening in this community, because we've still got to pay the bills. We've got to pay the bills when that budget comes out. It's going to come out pretty soon this year. So with that, I move to defer agenda item number 3, at least until a May 13th subsequent meeting, and ask that those agencies, groups that have offered to provide some additional information, maybe put something together for us, to ask the staff to look at some of the vacant parcels and even some that are on the table right now, to make sure we have the residents that could be impacted if we don't do something pretty quick, come to us with what they think should happen. And then finally, get staff to maybe look at other areas of the country where this type of thing, and I know we're like the ninth largest or ninth fastest growing community, so there aren't going to be many, but there are, and I know the chamber has looked at Austin, Texas as one. So that's my motion.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor. Is there a second?
I'll second it for discussion.
Okay.
But I don't want us to limit what we're getting from I don't want us to limit information we're getting just those things that Howard mentioned.
I was going to make a suggestion.
Okay, I would like the Planning Commission to have a period of days just to say that by X day, we have to have all of the requests for information into staff by X day, because there may be some things we haven't gotten. I frankly, if we're doing this, would like us to relook height on Poland Boulevard. I mean, I think that door should be open if we're looking at bonus densities. And that's just, you know, I'm just thinking out loud here, and we've got actually two new commissioners since we talked about that. So I don't know that that's not should be, if we're looking at these changes, maybe that should be part of the puzzle too. So I think we need a period of days where we can send some things out to get our information back prior to that 13th day.
Let me go next. Here's my thought, since there's a motion on the table for defer. I think there's some information that we need on numerous topics, and I don't think it's one-sided either way. I don't think it's just on the economic growth side. I think there's homeowner associations. I mean, I immediately think of Hobcock Creek Plantation with that economic development piece that's sitting right out there, that when we had a workforce housing initiative proposal, the room was full. So we need to be able to, we know that's a tract of land that's coming, Bell Hall, and their transportation issues. Immediately, if there's a application for a proposal for that tract of land, this room's going to have overflow capacity seating next. So we need to reach out and find out and identify those tracts of land, and then reach out to those HOAs, communities that are most affected, so they can understand that, hey, development is coming, the train has left the building, it's coming. I think we do need some information from the Mary Grahams and the Chamber of Commerce, from some state governmental stuff, some workforce housing. I don't think we need to limit your issue of what we can discuss, because we are still in the discussion phase.
Absolutely.
So if you want to make a motion or anybody wants more information at this next meeting, that if this proposal passes, if this motion passes, that we wanted the staff or bring in another expert to discuss heights in Holm Boulevard or heights in Shim Creek or heights at Wando up 41, that we can do that. I think we have the ability. I don't think we have to put that on the agenda item all the way through. I believe we're in the discussion period. Is that correct, Mr. Pagliarini?
So
we can discuss anything. I think I would ask as chairman that you give me a little leeway to work with staff to get some experts in here to give us some presentations from what we've heard already. And I've wrote down a list already of five or six, and I think we can work with staff to have some presentations for our next meeting. I do need to look at the bylaws, and if we are asking for expert presentations, so it wouldn't be a public hearing, it wouldn't be an applicant, so we'll have to come up with some reasonable time period set aside for presentations by these experts, whether it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes or something like that. And then, of course, we could also have conversations and questions answered sessions back and forth. That's what I would like to do, and I think we could get more information on the table. I'm not trying to put every developer in the town of Mount Pleasant out there as part of that discussion, and I'm not trying to bring in every homeowner as part of those discussions. I'd like to bring in some experts on everything. The population, we might have to have a transportation issue. That what are we going to do out in Long Point Road area on transportation? What are we going to do on 41 with transportation? That might be something. But if I read this motion right, May 13th, since we have closed the public hearing, that fits within our ordinances of having our first meeting within the 30-day calendar. If we needed another meeting to get more information after that May 13th date, we would still be eligible up until today's the 28th. We would still have two more weeks to have a follow-up meeting if we needed additional experts. and then that would fall within our calendar to make some type of recommendation. Is that correct, Mr. Pagwell?
That's right, 30 days from today.
So that's kind of where I'm going if with this motion on the table at the present time.
I made the motion just giving examples, not meaning to be all-encompassing, just trying to get something
I've
out
seen
there.
I've seen that. I just want to put that out there.
Yeah.
And I would encourage any member of the commission that has an item that they think should be further discussed, because we had a lot of people come in here today on a lot of different items, to forward that to the staff. It's going to put a lot more extra work on the staff because we're still going to have another meeting for the full commission, the full planning commission meeting this month. But I think council wants us to really look hard at all the issues that are on the table and come up with our best recommendation we can. And I'm sure they're going to do more themselves, but at least we'll give them something to start with.
Let me, before I take more discussion on this, I did not check it. May 13th. Ms. Woodflowers, May 13th?
I'm out of town until the afternoon of the 12th. I'm pretty sure it's the
12th. So 13th.
I just checked.
Ms. Malone?
13th is good. I checked.
Mr. Chapman, since you made it 13th, must be fine with you. Mr. Cutner? Mr. Wren?
Mm-hmm.
Annalise? Okay, so that's good. So I don't need a modification on that. Okay, Mr. Cutner? Any further discussion on this? There's a motion on the floor.
The only thing I would add is maybe, I don't know, direct in leeway with you, like some questions and issues that I'm sure us individually would have to coordinate to have the best discussion of the whole panel.
I think if you send those to staff,
okay.
Again, the agenda item will be just, that will be set. It will no longer be a public hearing. Of course, we'll still always have, at every one of our meetings, we have general correspondence. I think sending discussion items to staff, I'll work with staff to kind of do a consolidation of all of our questions, make sure that the speakers that we have will present topics that we need. But that we're not going to have a speaker for every topic, I'm sure, because it's short notice to get some people here on May 13th. But I'm sure we'll be able to have a good discussion of those items. So I think your idea, along with Chapman, Vendors, with Flowers, is sending all that discussion. And I'll be more than happy to keep everybody updated on what we're planning on that. Elise?
Well, one is that I think this is a great way to address the issues and the constraints that we need to act within 30 days, but I also encourage that some of these issues will take longer than that to hash through. And if there is an offer for one of the consultants to do a comprehensive analysis of something that should be continued to be discussed, because that could go forward if you sort of present to us and we could bring this up again at a later date. Just trying to make the point that we will answer some of the issues, but this should be a long conversation, not just one that we have to crank in at once. So I think the process I'm supportive of, I'm just saying that's an interesting idea to look at it on a broader sense as well.
Yes, Mr. Pagwell.
Right. We can keep in mind that it's entirely possible and even likely that if there are substantive changes, or even not, council committee can send this item back to you. And in all likelihood, as discussion is forward and information is gained, it's possible.
The other question I had was just that I think that there's a public comment spot on the town website. I just wanted to, if that's open, to make sure that we are still getting that correspondence, because the citizens are continuing to hear it, and that it's helpful for us to hear it. So it looked like there was something that is something that I believe is going to be the mayor and the
Well, at all times, there is a website, excuse me, an email address for planning at tompsc.gov or .com. That's how we got all of these emails sent to us. So at every one of our meetings, whether it's a normal monthly meeting or a special planning commission meeting like today, there's always open general correspondence at the very beginning, and there's always the opportunity to send in electronic correspondence for us to read. So that's available. All right, further discussion, or then I'm going to call for a vote on the motion. There is a motion on the table to defer to Wednesday, May 13th. Would that be a 5 o'clock meeting, Mr. Chapman?
Well, that would be my recommendation. No,
yeah.
I don't know that you want to have it during work.
Okay.
I'll just be getting back in town. There's no
way. Yeah, I think that's a clarification. Is that okay, Mr. Pagwell? Clarification, that would be a 5 o'clock meeting. Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Thank you very much. And that is all we have for today. Thank you very much. I'm missing Mary Graham.